and welcome to the Luke Miller Podcast. I'm glad that you're able to join me today. On this week's episode, we're taking a look at Nehemiah chapter 2, and we're taking a look at what happens when we've done all the talking, we've done all the planning, now it's time to jump into action. And with that comes risks. So we're going to take a look at what this means in Nehemiah, we're going to take a look at what it means for each and every one of us as we go about our week. So grab your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah chapter 2, and let's dive in. So today we are talking about moving forward even when we know there is risk involved, or when we are worried about something, or taking on challenges. I think it's an important note, and I will give this right off the top as a disclaimer. I was at the dentist this morning, and as I was doing the dentist, I completely realized that I had not done the podcast yet. And so now I'm sitting here about to do this podcast and half of my face is frozen. So I do not know if I am biting my lip. I don't know if I'm over-enunciating or under-enunciating some of these things because the left side of my face is frozen. There's a disclosure on that for today. Talk about taking risks and trying to do something. Here we are in Nehemiah chapter 2, half frozen face, but we're still going to dive in and see where God is leading us. Now, when we take a look at chapter 1 was so much about giving a bit of a historical background, starting to identify some of the problems that were there. And when we look at Nehemiah and we look at what we've looked at so far, we start to see that it's time to move forward. What, now that we've identified what the issue is, how do we move forward in life with that? And I want us to start to consider that ourselves. What do we see that's not what it should be? And what is unfinished? What is in disrepair in our life? And I want to take a moment and first say the natural answer is to look outside the walls. I don't want to look at myself, or I don't want to look at even in my own home. It's what's wrong with culture in so many ways. If we look at the world right now, obviously there is a lot of problems out there. But I think it's important to say, what may God want to restore or realize in my own life, in my own family, in my own work, or in my ministry as well? Not just the culture outside the walls, but also, does God need to start working in my own life and restoring some things in my own life as well? Some of us may realize that we have suffered some real loss, maybe from the pandemic season. Maybe we have felt neglected. Maybe we felt left out. Maybe we've gone through some hurt, and maybe we're dealing with loss. And when we look at what lies ahead, we may see some aspects of life that we do need to rebuild or some changes that we need to begin preparing for. For some of us, there may be unfinished work in life that we may have ignored as well. There may be some things we sense God gave us a heart for helping out to change, but we may have hit the pause button for a little bit. Maybe we uttered that phrase, you know, I always wanted to do this, but... Or this is a ministry I've always wanted to be a part of, but, and then whatever the excuse is, whatever the reasoning is, you haven't got around to it. Whatever that unfinished thing is, we have to challenge ourselves not to become passive. That's what Nehemiah does. He could sit back and say, oh no, Jerusalem is in ruins. However, he says, I'm going to do something about it. And so for some of us, we may just realize that we have stopped moving forward because there is some challenge we have been avoiding. Maybe things we have accepted for so long and we've lost sight of what that focus is. I think of our lawn. This is a great one for our house. When we moved down here, we do not have a lawnmower. And so I would borrow our neighbors who graciously would let us use it. But now we need our own lawnmower. And I know I've been avoiding mowing the lawn, and I keep on thinking, you know, a lawnmower will spontaneously show up, but it has not yet. And our lawn is starting to look like either we are growing wheat or something like the Serengeti in the midst of its bloom. And it's getting a little long. You don't know what's hiding in the grass. I have been avoiding it, thinking maybe just it'll chop itself down and cut itself. But it has not happened yet, weirdly enough. You know, in my own life, and when you think of your spiritual walk, whether it is prayer life, whether it is reading the Bible, whether it is saying, you know what, I have not had that tough conversation with someone that I know I need to have. We may have been putting it off. And Nehemiah, especially chapter 2, challenges us to say, how do we go forward with that? As we begin to look ahead and see what we may need to rebuild or what we may need restored in our own lives and even in our community calling, we are allowing God to speak to us through the book of Nehemiah and through his word. And the book of Nehemiah is the account of how the very people of God had called out to God, called out to himself and set apart in the promised land of Israel and now had turned away. And they were conquered by the Babylonian Empire. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed and most of the people were killed. And the others were taken into exile. They were now a lost people with no real place in this world, no identity. They were enslaved. And in many respects, this can reflect what God sees in all of our lives. We have all gone our own way. And apart from God, we have no home, no identity, and are lost and enslaved. It is that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And realizing that there is this lostness without God. The essence of what is at hand is this: God's purposes are not finished. Those who bear the only hope for the world in ruins are Christ followers who have that message of Jesus Christ. Now, the reality of Nehemiah is there's a huge problem. And it's important to recognize that this isn't the story of a superhero. This isn't a story of a great religious leader. This is a story of an ordinary man and how he responded to the unfinished purposes of God. I hope for all of us, we need to say that same thing as well. Is how do we, not superheroes, not Billy Grahams of the world, how does God use us, ordinary men and women, as we respond to the unfinished purposes of God? I mean, first of all, it's recognizing the purpose of God. And that is each of our stories, God's purposes are not finished. We each have a part. When the Bible speaks of those who succeeded in life, it says of David, the second king of Israel. David serves God's purpose in his own generation. Then he died. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. The Bible is also very clear about David's failings. But it is also clear that even in his failings, he did not stop serving God's purposes. And that may speak to some of us as well. Some of us may think to ourselves, you know what? I've never gotten married. I've gone through a divorce. I've lost my career. I need to wait till I'm older to have a bigger impact. Or I've gotten too old. I'm not young like I used to be to have the impact that I could. But God's focus is on what is at hand, on your role in serving his unfinished purposes where you are right now. And the truth is that if you are breathing, if you are a Christ follower, then you have purpose. Now, in theory, I could just end the podcast there and really get the point across, but I've always got a bit more to say on it. And I think that's what we have here. You know, as we are learning from how Nehemiah met his moment, we have begun with how Nehemiah first faced the news and how he responds. And we read in chapter 1, verse 4, right? And for some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven, it says in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. And I think as we look at the task, the first thing that we should do is probably embrace reality. Face the challenge of what is not what it should be, right? We look at the world and we can say, yeah, we probably need to embrace the reality of things aren't like what they used to be. You've heard me use that phrase before. If you've ever uttered that phrase, the world's not like what it used to be, then Nehemiah is a great thing for you. This is exactly this thing that he was saying, is things aren't like what they used to be. And but then again, how he responds. Nehemiah asks those who return to Jerusalem to tell him the truth. What is really happening? How is it really going? And that itself is a healthy question for us to ask. And what is notable is what he does in response. He doesn't avoid the condition of Jerusalem or dismiss or divert to another topic. He sits down and lets himself face the reality of what it is. And what actually becomes clear is that he doesn't just feel bad and move on. I think the most common response to something so challenging to face is that we allow ourselves to feel bad about something, and then, and that's is usually where the story ends. The whole restoration of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel would never have been fulfilled if Nehemiah just felt really sad for a while. And if he went back to work, end of story. It would also be a lot shorter book in the Bible. But this is only the beginning. And it would be so easy to just continue and move on. How easy would it have been to just hear devastating news, feel bad, and consider feeling bad, really, and not ever look at what comes next? But what we see is something different. He allows himself to take this time in his own life and take a moment and realize what God had called. What we see is the significance of how Nehemiah created a space to feel reality and face reality. And in that extended time, something happened. He transitioned from simply feeling bad to feeling a burden. That's what I love. He doesn't feel sad and then move on. That sadness that he has, which is a very justified feeling, moves into feeling a burden to do something about it. And how can we bear such a challenge or such a burden is really the next question. When we see a challenge and the challenges of change, it's natural to want to avoid it because left to ourselves, we may be overwhelmed. But what we see is that secondly, Nehemiah teaches us to really embrace God and bring life more fully into the reality or the larger reality of God, the bigger picture of God. Nehemiah brings the whole challenge before God. He says, "For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." He's bringing everything before God. He is breathing in the reality of God. As we take a look at this even further, we see that he understands that he doesn't want to just tackle one thing. He says, "God, you made a promise to your people. I want to see that realized. How do I let that happen?" If we don't spend taking in the reality of God, breathing in God's greatness, his love, his power, his promises, then I think it's easy for us to become distracted and disorientated, which, not getting ahead of myself, is what chapter 3 is about. Nehemiah reminds us that if we are going to embrace reality and all of its challenges, we need to embrace the larger reality of God. We need to create space where we bring ourselves into the presence of God. Nehemiah did this for 4 months. And when we face a challenge or a need, we may wonder how long should we expect to keep praying about it? And there is no simple answer. I believe that we can learn something here in Nehemiah. I believe the months he spent represent the process of moving from feeling bad to feeling a burden. And it took him 4 months to get over that sadness and say, you know what? It's time to pick myself up. I need to do something about this. I need to make an active change. Now, there are a lot of needs that we may pray for in a moment or even a course of a few days. But there are times when there is a need that isn't met in that moment, where God has his own timing. There will be a few needs that we will keep finding that keep on coming back to us, that are reoccurring. They become something that we bring to God over and over. But then as we start to say, let's now move from sadness, let's take on that burden and say, you know what, I'm going to do something about it, then we see a fundamental change. So I mentioned at the top of the podcast that as I'm recording this, I am fresh off the dentist, which is hands down my biggest fear in the world. I don't have enough time to explain everything about the dentist and why I fear slash do not like. And I go into the dentist and I tell him, and we've got an amazing dentist. And I tell him, listen, it's not you, it's me. And he said, oh, I 100% know it's you. And so he's in touch with reality, and I'm somewhat there. Now, today I went into the dentist, and I had a filling that came out. I thought I had chipped my tooth. I thought I was going to have a root canal. I thought it was going to be this horrible thing, which I was planning on just going in, getting some x-rays. But instead, I got there, and he said, oh, a filling fell out. We can do this right now. And I was like, wait a minute. Like right now, right now? He's like, yeah, we got time. It'll be like half hour, 40 minutes. That is my nightmare, right? I now am in the chair and I can hear myself, one part of myself saying, okay, Luke, you can do this. Be brave. And I can hear another part of me saying, run as fast as you can and never look back. And I mean, there's that moment where now I'm faced in that, I've got 30 seconds to decide, do I want to get this done right now, experience the needles and all the unfunness and everything and the stress of the dentist, or do I want to just put it off? As you can probably tell, maybe whether I am blubbering over a few words, is that, as I said, half my face is frozen because I ended up getting it done. Now, at some point, I realized this is going to have to get done at some point. Why not just do it now? Why put it off 2 weeks where I would be in a bit of pain because my tooth would be sensitive and the same procedure would have been done, but just 2 weeks from now? Nehemiah is doing the same thing here, right? The walls of Jerusalem had been destroyed and the gates had been burning. And we know that the first wave of exiles went back to Jerusalem to start building up the walls again 50 years ago. So Nehemiah could have just said, you know what, maybe they're getting to it. Maybe they've just finished all their committee meetings and now they're going to start working on it. But the reality is Nehemiah realized if he wanted to see this done, if he wanted God's promises realized, he was going to have to partner with God and actually stand up and get this change. You know, he braces that risk. And I think that's that other part of active moving is take the step that change requires. And he goes to the king in that. The king sees the countenance of Nehemiah is sad. And we know that Nehemiah had been praying day and night, fasting and mourning, and probably trying not to let it show because that did not go over well in the king's court, having a sad person all around. But it's noted that the king had never seen him in such a state. And in fact, such a state was itself an enormous risk. As I just said, right, all those who served the king in such times were to serve the king in a good mood. Being a downer to the king was considered something worthy of punishment. In addition, the cupbearer was a source of great trust that there was no plot against the king. So when the king took the cup from the cupbearer, they would naturally look into the other person's eyes to see if there was conflict, any sign of something that they shouldn't trust. And in this case, King Artaxerxes may have asked if he was ill or if he was not ill. He was discerning there was sadness in the heart of Nehemiah and tried to feel what was wrong. And this is a moment of risk for Nehemiah. He is a Jew among the Persian Empire, a servant of the Persian pagan king. Despite whatever trust he held with the king, he needed to know inside that which served the king's personal interests was supposed to be his interests, not Jerusalem, which was not the king's interests. Understanding, though, taking that risk is so important as we start to move. And as we move from chapter 3 to chapter 4 to chapter 5, we start to see how Nehemiah's leadership really takes over. But first he had to say, I got to actually lead on this. I have to actually do something on this. And there was fear involved. But really, in many ways, when we look at Nehemiah's story and what comes from this, it says in verse chapter 2, verse 2, I was very much afraid. And And it teaches something about this whole picture of stepping out in risk. That risk is not the absence of fear, but the choice to really exercise your faith in God's purpose in your life. So as we start to wrap this up today, I think it's kind of that good question. You know, go back to the top of what we were talking about, is saying, is there something that is unfinished or in disrepair? And yes, the list is long as we look at our culture and our greater community, the state, the nation, and really the state of the world right now. But also ask that question, is there something that needs restored or something that is unfinished or in disrepair in your own life, in your family, and in your work, and in your ministry? As you start to do this and really challenge yourself to say, you know what, I am going to step into, I'm going to embrace reality of what is going on and the challenge ahead. I'm going to embrace the full larger picture of the reality of God and realize that he has everything under control. But then also understand that, yes, I will embrace risk for the state of the kingdom of God so I can build the kingdom of God. And when we do that, it gives us the motivation moving forward. Next week, as we jump into chapter 3, we'll say, okay, how do we assemble the team? And how do we unite? Even though God may have different purposes and putting us in different places, how do we unite to be stronger as a family and as a community of believers? But I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to just leave us with that challenge for this week. So I will leave it there. And at the same time, hope that my face starts to stop being numb. and I should probably stop talking at this point. But I will leave us there and say, take care. Have a great week. And I will talk to you next week. Thank you for joining us on the Luke Miller Podcast, a part of Sunrise Digital Ministries at Sunrise Community Church in Fair Oaks, California. If you're wanting to know more about our digital ministries, you can download our app at the Google Play Store or the Apple Store, where you'll find Backshed Bible Study, Sunday Sermons, and the Luke Miller Podcast. If you've got questions about who Jesus is or what it means to be a Christ follower, we would love to connect with you. And you can send us a note at www.sunrise.church/welcome, and we'll get you connected. Thanks again for joining us. Take care.